Copenhagen. Victor Tomas stood in the shadows across the canal and watched the museum burn. He turned to his partner, Raphael, but did not speak the obvious. Problems.
The woman, Raphael said. She was waiting with a gun. That can't be good.
He agreed. The man, too, was a problem. The fire department had arrived within minutes, just as the two emerged from the water. The turtles had clearly performed their tasks. Raphael had christened them with the label since they resembled turtles, even possessing the ability to right themselves. Thankfully, no remnant of the devices would remain. Each was made of combustible materials that vaporized in the intense heat of the destruction they caused. Any investigator would quickly label the blaze arson, but proof of the method and mechanism would be impossible to determine. Except that the man had survived.
Will he be trouble? Raphael asked.
The man and woman sat on the brick parapet, wrapped in blankets. They seemed to know each other. That worried him more. He answered Raphael's inquiry the only way he could. No doubt. Malone had recovered his wits. The night air reeked of soot, along with another smell, bitter yet sweet, similar to what he'd inhaled while trapped inside. A stout man in firefighting gear waddled over for the second time, one of the crew chiefs.
Like you said about the sprinklers, the chief said, our water only seemed to spark it up.
How'd you finally control it? Malone asked.
When the tanker ran out of juice, we dipped our hoses into the canal and pumped straight from it. That worked.
Salt water? All of Copenhagen's canals connected to the sea. The chief nodded. Find anything in the building?
No machines, like you told the police, but that place was so hot it melted the marble statues. That's a powerful fuel. We'll need your clothes. Maybe the only way to determine its composition.
Maybe not, he said. I took a dip in that canal, too. The chief shook his head.
The arson investigators are going to love this one.
As the fireman lumbered off, Malone faced Cassiopeia. You want to tell me what's going on?
You weren't supposed to be here till tomorrow morning.
That's not an answer to my question. Wet tangles of thick, dark hair hung past her shoulders and roughly framed her alluring face. She was a Spanish Muslim living in southern France, bright, rich, and cocky, an engineer and a historian. But her presence in Copenhagen, a day earlier than she'd told him, meant something. Also, she'd come armed and dressed for battle, leather pants and a tight-fitting leather jacket.
Lucky I was here to save your hide, she said to him.
How did you know my hide needed saving?
Long story, Cotton.
I've got the time. I'm retired.
I'm not.
He heard the bitter edge in her voice and sensed something.
You knew that building was going to burn, didn't you?
She did not look at him.
I actually wanted it to burn.
Care to explain that one?
I was here, earlier. I watched while two men broke into the museum. I saw them grab you. I needed to follow them, but couldn't.
She paused.
Because of you.
Who were they?
The men who left those machines.
How about we cut the crap and you tell me what's going on?
You saw the flames, felt the heat. Unusual, wouldn't you say?
He recalled how the fire had descended the stairs, then stopped, as if waiting to be invited further. You could say that.
In the 7th century, when Muslim fleets attacked Constantinople, they should have easily routed the city. Better weapons, a mass of forces, but the Byzantines had a surprise. They called it liquid fire, or wild fire, and they unleashed it on the ships, totally destroying the invading fleet.
Cassiopeia still wasn't looking at him.
The weapon survived in various forms to the time of the Crusades and eventually acquired the name Greek fire. The original formula was so secret that it was held personally by each Byzantine emperor.
When the empire finally fell, the formula was lost. She breathed deeply.
It's been found.
You're telling me that I just saw Greek fire?
With a twist. This kind hates salt water.
He sensed something more from Cassiopeia as she continued to avoid his gaze. Never in all the time he'd known her had he seen any sign of misgiving, nervousness, or dejection, but now she seemed troubled. A car appeared at the far end of the street. He recognized the expensive British sedan and the hunched figure that emerged. Henrik Torvaldsen. Cassiopeia stood.
And how did he know we were here? Malone asked.
Something's happening, Cotton.